Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. You know, you can listen to The Rock of Seattle through radio.com. It's got a fine app for all your phones. And online if you get your computer stuff. So download it. Make it happen. Make radio.com the app of your choice to listen to every great audio thing that's ever been done by us. And only us. Yep, stream The Rock wherever you go. Radio.com.
Let's play Beat Migs.
It's time to play the game.
Yeah.
Pump it up for Monday!
Oh, yeah.
Get pumped up!
Pumped up, buddy. Pump it up.
Still, you know, I mean... Are you a little bit happier now, or are you still in those doldrums? Are you sad?
It's okay to grieve. You see, I don't mind grieving. It's part of life, man.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. You know, grieving means that I cared. That's how I look at it. If you don't care about anything, then you never grieve the loss of it.
It's better to love and loss.
Yes.
Than to never have loved it.
Yeah.
Something.
Love it all. Yeah, I mean, you almost got there.
Damn it.
If you had just finished that.
I will say.
On Tuesday, I would have got it right.
I want to pause. You know, I really do want to appreciate really the big three for Seattle Seahawks in this history.
Oh,
we have. This is a special time with Schneider, Carroll, and Russell Wilson. I really want to stop and pause and savor it because this is a special time for the Seattle Seahawks that someday will be gone. And I do not want to take this for granted. Even though we lost yesterday, those three gave us a chance to be in a place where, frankly, we had no business being with all the crap that happened.
And they gave us a championship.
Yeah. I want to savor that. I mean, this season's been a great season considering, and it's those three guys that are the consistency that's been here for what? But Pete Carroll celebrated his 10th. Yesterday was his 10th anniversary of signing with the Seattle Seahawks. So as the coach, so I think that's you know I want to remember that as I grieve.
Thank you.
Grieve the loss.
All right, then. Well, while you grieve, yes. Let's get to our contestant. We've got Justin in Ferndale. Justin, are you there?
Yes, sir. Go Dragons!
Nice. Yeah. Go Dragons!
Feel the fire.
Ooh,
nice.
Did you make that up?
I did.
I like that.
It just came out of my head right now.
That was really good.
That's nice. Actually not bad.
All right, I'll text the president.
Yeah, let him know.
What? Of the team, not the actual
Yeah, text the president and say, what do you think of Feel the fire? Next thing you know, he's like, I've got this great idea. Every time I would end every statement with Feel the Fire.
What's Justin playing for today, Steve?
Tickets to see the Glorious Suns over at the Showbox on February 19th. Go to KISW.com for all the details. You want to see the Glorious Suns, get your tickets now at AXS.com.
All right, Steve, get out of here. Get out!
Oh, there we go. Still sad, but you can still yell get out.
That's right, buddy.
For those playing at home, Justin will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Justin, you can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What famous scientist was awarded the 1921 Nobel Prize in Physics for his work in theoretical physics?
Einstein.
Yes. What type of animal is Pearl Krabs from SpongeBob SquarePants?
Whale.
Yes. Finish the military slogan, the few, the proud, the what?
The brave.
No.
The Strong?
No.
Pass.
What is the real first name of rapper Puff Daddy?
Pass.
How many bones do sharks have in their bodies?
Zero.
Yes. Ken Griffey Jr. started his major league career at what age?
22.
No.
23?
No.
21.
No! A phlebotomist extracts what from the human body? Yes. What year of the mid-70s did Dolly Parton have her hit song Jolene?
Mid-75, 76, 77.
No! Kodiak Island is in which U.S. state?
New York.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4 correct.
Ah, Justin, you tried, buddy. You did try.
He did try.
Yeah.
And maybe Steve won't, you know.
That ticking clock just has you go, ah.
Sometimes it's a panic inducer.
Yeah, it is.
But Steve, today's been a weird day.
Steve's a weird guy, so what are you saying?
I'm just saying that these responses may be weird, and he may not get all of them.
You mean the questions?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
Almost. Steve, are you ready?
Oh, yeah!
What famous scientist was awarded the 1921 Nobel Prize in Physics for his work on theoretical physics?
Physics.
Einstein.
Yes. What type of animal is Pearl Krabs from SpongeBob SquarePants?
He's a crab.
No.
Huh?
What type of animal is Pearl Krabs from SpongeBob SquarePants?
A fish.
No.
A dinosaur.
No.
That's it.
Finish the military slogan. The few, the proud, the what?
The hungry?
No.
The few, the proud. The Marines.
Yes. What is the real first name of rapper Puff Daddy?
Sean Combs.
Yes. How many bones do sharks have in their bodies?
None.
Yes. Ken Griffey Jr. started his major league career at what age?
21.
No.
19.
Yes.
Yep.
A phlebotomist extracts what from the human body?
Phlegm.
No.
Blood.
Yes. What year of the mid-70s did Dolly Parton have her hit song Jolene?
74?
Yes. Kodiak Island is in which U.S. state?
Alaska.
Yes. Aerosmith was formed in the 70s in what U.S. state?
Massachusetts.
Yes. And Steve, you win! Almost with the Dolly Parton. 9-4.
All right.
Woo! Yeah. Sorry about that,
Kodiak
Justin.
Kodiak Island's in Massachusetts?
No, it's in Alaska.
Oh. Who said Massachusetts?
Aerosmith.
The next question after that was...
I totally fell asleep on that.
Yeah, you absolutely you just missed a question.
Yeah, I totally missed that question. I was going to say, Kodiak Island is not in Massachusetts.
No, you're right. Oh. It's not. Okay.
I'm tired.
Sorry, Justin. Well, I mean, you did stay up till almost 6 a.m. on two consecutive days for board gaming, so I can understand why you're tired.
I'm starting to feel it.
I can tell. Yeah. The only one that you missed, what type of animal is Pearl Krabs from SpongeBob SquarePants? If you knew SpongeBob SquarePants, you know that the crabs is spelled with a K, so it's not an actual crab. And Justin got this correct. She's a whale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see how they threw that curve, you know?
Your name's
crab,
but
she's a whale, yeah.
Congratulations, Steve. You won with 9 correct.
That's right, man. And call number 9, you are checking out the Glorious Suns. Is that what you said, Steve?
Yeah.
I got this. So were you wrong about that?
No, you just gave me... Oh, crap.
Yeah.
That is not what's up for grabs.
Yeah, okay. All right, so...
It says WWE Monday Night Raw tickets.
Yes.
Happening at the Angel of the Winds Arena on February 17th. And you can get your tickets at KSW.com. And if you want tickets, you can get them over at Ticketmaster.com.
There we go.
Cool.
That's a good prize.
Monday Night Raw, baby.
Yeah. But you what? You also, if you want to, you get to listen to the Glorious Suns on your own time.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? So caller number 9 gets that. 206-421-ROCK. Caller number 9. Nice. So speaking of sea creatures and pearl crabs and like that, we got a giant tortoise from the Galapagos Islands who is finally...
I like turtles.
You like turtles?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this turtle likes the fact that he's going to get to breathe because he finally gets to retire and go home after taking part in a breeding program where he had 800 offspring.
Wow.
Imagine this, Steve. Imagine they come to you and go, Steve, look, we got to save the human race. You're going to have a lot of sex. Is that okay with you?
Okay.
Yeah. It's got to be done.
Run down one by my wife.
Yeah. Here's what the giant tortoises sound like when they mate. Oh, gosh. This is amazing.
Wow. That's hot.
That is...
Wow.
I mean, if you play that sound, it sounds like, what do you, if I said, what do you think this creature is doing? I think we'd all guess, well, he's either got a problem because he had the wrong food or he's having a good time.
That's a deeper register than the one we always play.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that, yep, there's that one.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He's been in a lot of films. He's like the Ron Jeremy of tortoises. Well, tortoises.
800 offspring. He had to save his species. This guy's working hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's my favorite one. That's the guy who doesn't get laid a lot.
Three different turtle action sounds. Yeah, he's like, wow.
Wow, this is happening.
Woo! It's just like they said it would be. It's great. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, 800 offspring. I don't know how many turtle eggs they do. It like pretty much his part of the job when it's done. How many eggs are produced from that? I have no idea that could be born. I don't know.
I have no idea either.
800 sounds like a lot. I don't know how much work that entails or how many one night stands he has to have. I have no idea. But congratulations for him. He is he's finally getting to retire. Good for him.
Good for him.
Good for him. What do you do when you're? What do you do when you save your species? What do you get? Do you go to Disneyland? What do you get for that?
I feel like they need to do something for him.
Yeah, you got to get something. He saved his whole race.
Why isn't Pixar making a movie about this?
Probably because what are you going to show children about making babies that wouldn't get a different kind of rating?
Wow!
An adult Pixar film.
Yeah.
Wow.
Turtle Gigolo.
A turtle gone bad as a gigolo was pulled out of the mean streets where he performed his trade to save his people.
Who would voice him?
Ooh. Ooh. Who sounds like they could make that kind of voice?
Wow.
I'm going Lawrence Fishburne. No, Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If it's going to be like an adult theme to this movie.
Yeah.
He should be the voice.
I gotta save my whole mother blanking race.
That or, what's that? Liev Schreiber.
Oh, Liev Schreiber.
That guy.
Ray Donovan.
Yes.
Okay.
He's got a good, like, narrator voice.
Yeah, I could see him. And he also, I think he could grunt. Because he's got to be the guy, right? Is he playing the turtle or is he playing the narrator?
No, he's the turtle.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. Yeah. Should we ask him if we ever interview him? Hey, can you? We want to audition you to be in a movie about a turtle that's a gigolo.
Actually, I think you should ask everybody we interview from now on. I don't care who it is. Say, look, we've got this idea. We're recruiting talent.
Then let us play this example for you. This is what we need you to sound like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I mean, Amelia Clark.
Shaq.
Shaq. You're absolutely right. He's got the perfect voice. You're right. He's got that register. He's a perfect low voice turtle effer sounder guy.
All right, we found our turtle gigolo.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Now, there's another turtle that's got a higher pitched voice. I think it's the female turtle. You know, in that one of those things.
Oh.
So we need somebody for that. Amelia Clark, I nominate. And that was Flipper or somebody squeaking there. I don't know what the hell that was.
He's doing balloon animals while he's having sex. Yeah.
There you go. Perfect.
So it's a Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
Joe Pesci.
Wow. Danny DeVito will play the turtle, like, in a turtle costume, but we'll have to get a different voice. We'll dub in a different voice.
And then playing the role of the turtle that just says wow all the time would be Owen Wilson.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
Wow.
Seth Rogen could be the turtle.
Ooh, that's a pretty good
it's
one.
It's one stone turtle.
Yeah, the turtle doesn't sound stoned, but Steth, yes, it's Steth. Good old Seth Rogen. Yeah.
So instead, that wouldn't be a Pixar film. It'd be a, well, they use a lot of D instead of P.
Wow.
Film.
Oh, Ixar with a D. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. It is time for Listeners on the Loose because really, why are we spending so much time on this? Yeah, we probably should go somewhere else.
What is that? Or talk about the Hawks.
Yeah, good point. But you know what? We're going to turn this over to you. What do you want to talk about? You pick the topic. You guide the show. Your calls and texts at 917.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose, brought to you by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Mechanical. Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Stop freaking. Call Beacon.
Stop freaking. Call Beacon.
That's right. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. And don't forget, as you are leading the charge with your own opinions, Steve does have a rule.
And that's to show some energy and bring it, BJ. Otherwise, and then say goodbye.
Goodbye, old friend.
It's really interesting because I only have a one-track mind. During the break, all I did was run around the office and talk about the Hawks.
No way.
Yeah, that's all I did.
Shocking.
I know. That's all I did.
I know.
Yeah. But that's what I want to do today. I think a lot of people in their offices and workplaces today, I think that's all they want to talk about. It's just a way of, you know, grieving and going, okay, I got to move on, is to talk about the Hawks and, you know, say, hey, man.
Misery loves company.
Yeah.
Especially when your team loses.
That's right, buddy.
Oh, there's always next season.
Wait till next year. Man. Well, at least, I mean, I don't know if everyone's buying into it, but boy, everybody keeps saying this is like 2012.
I hope. Oh, when they lost to Atlanta.
Exactly.
And then the next year they came back.
Tyler Lockett brought it up, and Pete Carroll brought it up. So I think that I'm excited that way. I hope everybody else is excited that way, because that would be really fun if that's the kind of thing we're building to, where we had like back-to-back Super Bowl appearances. That would be really fun.
I mean, yeah, a great young wide receiver in DK Metcalf. Obviously, Tyler Lockett's not going to be any... He's not going to... I mean, he's still going to continue to play well. He played great yesterday. Russell Wilson, we're not going to see him really turn into anything crappy. So now it's just a matter of figuring out the defense and the running game, as long as everyone's healthy. I mean, you know, Chris Carson was looking great until he got hurt.
That's the thing that really irritates me, is that ever since Marshawn Lynch became a non-factor for us, whether, you know, he wasn't as good as he was and he left, we have had such bad luck with really good running backs then get hurt. I think of Thomas Rawls, of course, Procise, now Chris Carson. I'm just like, oh my gosh, can we get anybody?
Hendricks as well.
Yes, yeah. Can we get somebody that's healthy? Because that seems to be the bugaboo. We get guys and, oh, you look good, you look good. And then boom, and of course then Will Disley.
Do you bring back Marshawn?
Am I a jerk to say that he's probably better in the locker room than he is on the field?
Part of me thinking bring him back for that reason. I don't know how much it would cost.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously he wouldn't be your starting running back. Maybe he'd be your backup or the third guy. I mean, there's something about him that he brings an energy to that team. And, I mean, yeah, he wasn't running like a monster, but he was also... He punched in, what, four touchdowns?
Yeah, he's good for that.
And two yesterday.
If he's willing to come from for a hometown discount, because he's already got his chicken. He doesn't need any, you know, he's got his chicken, so he's all set there. Maybe he would do it to be a mentor and also to still, you know, hey, get his reps in.
Take care of y'all chicken.
You know, football's a brutal sport. I mean, can you casually play the game? Like, you know, be that guy going, okay, I'll be there and maybe not have to do practice as much and not get hit as much.
That's
I don't know.
Kind of what he was doing when he was on the team. He wasn't practicing that much back when he first, the initial run of Marshawn Lynch. You just bring him in for when you need a yard and just let him do what he does.
If he's willing to do it at a good price, yes, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, that would be funny, and maybe, everybody said they loved him. That's the thing. I mean, the young kids
absolutely.
Said they loved him. They said he was really, we don't know that Marshawn, because we only know him from his interactions with the media, but boy, those young players really dug him, and that shows the kind of man Marshawn is that he obviously was a positive role model for these kids, and, you know, Marshawn had a bit of a tough time, as you remember, when he played with the Buffalo Bills. He's turned his life around and has become a positive guy. I'd love to have that kind of person on the team.
So we want to know, hey, curious, what is, asking me, what's my favorite Rush song from a drummer's perspective?
Oh, because of Neil Peart being, passing away on Friday.
Yeah, which was a total bummer because I think a lot of us didn't know that he was battling brain cancer for the last couple of years. They kept that quiet. And then when the news broke at first, I think Danny might have even texted me, if I remember correctly, or somewhere. And I look at my phone and he's like, no.
Yeah.
And then I check online and you see all these people putting up touching tributes. I was never a huge Rush fan. It's only been the last couple of years that I've really, truly appreciated what they are as a band. I just always had this, I mentioned earlier, I had a weird issue with him because of an interview that he did, and I held ill will towards him for the dumbest reason, because he said not to wear earplugs.
And then you
in
did.
An interview with drummers, and so I stopped wearing earplugs, and soon after that, I destroyed my ears and now have ringing in my ears all the time. And that's from my own stupidity. I'm not mad, legitimately mad at him, but as a kid, I was.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest reason to have ill will towards somebody. But so I always had ill will towards the band as well because of that. Stupid.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
That's not, it's funny how the brain works. A great band, your brain's already said, no, they're horrible. They'll always be horrible. But because of Neil Peart.
Because of an interview he did with Modern Drummer magazine. Honestly, though, I mean, for me, whenever I hear Tom Sawyer, I know that that's, a Rush purist is not going to say that's their favorite song. But man, that song is so damn great. And his drumming is phenomenal on it.
Yeah, and I'm not a Rush purist myself, and that's the same answer I would give, Steve. When you realize this is a three-man band, that's the other thing that's pretty amazing, is just three dudes.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild. And, really representing a day gone by. I mean, Rush was really just, it's just part of a time of rock and roll that was just nuts. Really awesome and powerful and really rock star. That era, if you will, of legitimate rock star kind of status that these guys had. Reminded me a little bit of, because it was the 70s where, they weren't really glam. They were before that. And they were a legend even as they were a young band. I mean, everybody just seemed to say, oh, my God, these guys are the second coming. And there was so much love for the quality that people said Rush brought when they first came into the picture.
Well, it was just a band of just, look at Neil, as obviously, but then the rest of the other two members of the band, Alec and Geddy,
yeah.
Just incredibly talented musicians.
Yeah.
I mean, not just like, great songwriters, but musicianship-wise, it was just on point. I know Tool did like a little breakdown in one of their songs the other night to pay tribute to Rush. Because obviously, if there's a band that was influenced by Rush, especially the drumming, it's definitely Tool.
Yeah.
So that was cool that they did something like that.
Yeah, again,
I need to watch this documentary. A lot of people have recommended it. I hear it's really awesome, and it's called Time Stand Still.
Oh, no,
Beyond the Light of Stage. There's another document. They had a couple of things.
Oh, I thought you meant the documentary called Trailer Park Boys, where Bubbles was trying to be a guitar tech for Alex. That was a wonderful documentary, too. I don't know if you saw that, Steve. Great episodes where Rush was on there.
I can't remember that one, no.
It was a fun one. It really, really, it was, just, obviously the shenanigans, because they're a Canadian band. Trailer Park Boys is a Canadian show. So, Bubbles wanted to be a guitar tech for Alex, and it was a really fun episode. I think they kidnapped Alex.
Oh, good.
That's what they did.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I didn't grow up with Rush, obviously, and I didn't really know them. But the reason I knew them and actually started liking them was because of I Love You Man with Paul Rudd and Jason Segel.
Oh, right.
And they were in there and they had this huge fandom. They go to the concert and they play this song called Limelight.
Yeah.
That song,
yeah.
Seeing it, I know it wasn't live, but seeing them like perform it, even though it was like fake live, I was like, I gotta go look into this band. And that's been my favorite Rush song ever since.
That's a good tune. Yeah. I forgot about Limelight. It's a good tune.
Can we play that audio clip? It was on Funny or Die, that website that does silly bits and stuff. And it was Paul Rudd and what's the other guy?
Jason Segel.
Jason Segel pretending to be like super fans of Rush. And they screw up the pronunciation of because Neil Peart, everybody pronounced wrong.
Yes,
that was Neil Peart.
Yeah,
or as you said, Neil Part.
It's because it's spelled P-A-R-T, and if you put an H in front of it instead of a P, we all pronounce that as heart. So a lot of people might say Neil Part, Neil Peart.
And then for a while, then people realized that it wasn't Neil Peart, and then people would screw it up in other ways trying to get it right, but when it's really simple, it's just Peart. There's a funny bit of them trying to act like they're like part of the road crew to get a free sandwich or something along those lines, and they encounter the members of Rush and screw up his last name.
Hey, is that my sandwich?
Sid, I told you not to eat Mr. Peart's sandwich.
It's just Peart.
You sure that it's not Peart?
I think he would know.
Are you sure? Because we're pretty big fans.
Chill, man. Look, guys, it's been a long night.
Oh, tote. I just gotta say, though, that was such a sweet set. I was like, oh, freaking out. And the whole movie picks, right? And then, when you were playing the drums Is that hard?
Yes, it's hard.
Oh, man. Fanboys, I love the whole fanboy moment because you're tripping. You're just tripping balls.
And give a shout out. If you have a chance, go to KISW.com. There's an incredible blog written by Taryn Daly, who's a huge Rush fan to the point where
yes.
when they made their announcement of them having a baby, her and her husband, it's them both rocking Rush shirts and then a little baby Rush onesie as their way of on the road.
That's adorable. Look
before
at that.
Their kid. Yeah. So yeah. She has a lot of love for that band, and you can tell because she shares a great, great personal account about the band and why she loves them at KSW.com.
And again, the reason we're talking about this is that Neil Peart passed away on Tuesday, and they told us of last week, and then they informed all of us on Friday that had happened, battling brain cancer, and he eventually did lose his battle to that. So, it is Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. We got your calls. We got your texts at 933 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show, actually. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
Someone texted in, did you guys hear Jason Momoa? He does a pretty good Wookiee impression.
Really?
I have not heard this, but apparently he did it with the Nerdist
on
their Twitter page.
Okay, let's check this. Do we have the audio?
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
All right, so, of course, Chewbacca. We've heard other impressions, including from some girl's backside. That's how that...
There you go.
Yeah, fair. The first one was Emilia Clarke, of course, Daenerys, the mother of dragons. And that's her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the real one.
Okay. Yeah. And we also, we heard Rey, Daisy Ridley, who plays Rey in Star Wars. She also did not do a very good Chewbacca.
Yeah, we don't have that one.
But Jason Momoa, here's his shot.
Hey, everyone, I got Jason here. That's a pretty good Chewie.
That's pretty goddamn good.
It's all right.
Try. It must be pretty bad.
That is awesome.
Wait,
you don't need to be flashing Chewie styles.
This is good.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. Well, the annoying part is he's wearing a Philadelphia Flyer shirt while doing it.
Can't have that. That's bad for him.
That's terrible.
Yeah. I have to say he's got an intriguing new show on Apple TV Plus called C, where pretty much everybody's blind, and it's what would happen if a society is trying to live and nobody in society can see.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty fascinating show, and he does a pretty good job. But, he does a good Wookiee. That doesn't sound right. Listeners on the Listeners on the Loop. It's so funny. That was actually somebody he did do in a TV show.
It's
all connected, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did. He
was called Drago.
Yeah,
so maybe it's not 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon anymore. It's 6 degrees of Wookiee.
Of Wookiee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wookiee binds us all together. Yes.
Someone just texted in saying, I do a good Chewie impersonation. I'm going to call in and prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things
you can't take your word on the text.
Yeah, you have a phone. You're texting us. Yeah, you really need to call in and do it at 206-421-ROCK. Text us. Don't text us. Just call in.
Yeah.
You already know how to text us. You already did.
Oh, this is a nice one. It said, happy 1 month birthday to Tatum Migs.
Oh.
That's right. Today is her 1 month birthday.
Wow.
So weird.
Dude, you do stuff like this until they get two years old.
Once baby Migs hits 1 year old, I'm not doing she's 14 months old thing.
Oh, people do it.
She's a month, she's a year and some change.
See, I was like that. I was in the same mindset as you, but then when everyone asks, it gets annoying. Say he's 1 year and 1 month old, my foster brother, Prince Migs. It gets annoying. You will eventually adopt it.
And don't they have sizing where they still go sizing for 13 months, 15 months, 18 months? They do that.
Yeah, but I don't need to say it out loud. I can just look at the sizing on the thing and get it.
You know what? I'll remember this day.
Mm-hmm.
And see if we ever catch you.
I hope, man. If you do,
you're indoctrinated. You're going against the tide. I mean, you eventually go out. I know you. You just give in.
Yeah.
You know they go. If somebody just goes, Steve, what the hell is this? 1 year, 2 months, then you'll be like, all right, fine.
Whatever. Good enough.
Fine. She's 14 months old.
17 months old.
Yeah.
Should I just do it for the rest of her life?
Oh yes.
The math. Like when she's like 7 years old. She's however. Yeah. With 7 times 12.
I don't know.
84.
Well,
I mean, that's supposed to be burning your brain, isn't it?
It ain't anymore.
Okay.
We only went up to 10.
Okay, fine.
So she's 94 months old then, right?
84.
84 months old.
Almost there.
Well, I can see why time's table didn't work on you. Somebody could tell you in a second later, you still give the wrong answer.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, happy birthday, baby.
Aww.
Oh. Is she listening?
Right now, no. But she was listening the other day. That was kind of cool.
She was listening to the show?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, my wife was driving around and had the show on, and she was in the car, and it was the first time. And I was like, "Oh, I ain't like choked up by it," but I was like, that was kind of a cool moment, knowing that my kid was listening to me talk.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the last time she'll ever listen to whatever you have to say.
Yeah. She tries to roll her eyes a lot at me.
Yeah. Well, I can understand why. Yep.
Someone says, how's your sleep in there, Migs? Full night's sleep again. We've been so lucky, man.
She is amazing. I hope this doesn't translate to what happened in my life, because Sarah was an amazing baby, mm-hmm. and she's just a challenging adult.
She was in a bad mood all day yesterday, though.
Oh,
I think it's just at a Hawks game.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, she's like, come on. I mean, I'm just born, and you can't figure this out for me?
I mean, her whole life, she has not seen this team win a Super Bowl.
That's true.
Right. She's not happy about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time to go.
A whole month.
A whole month. A long time to go without seeing championship.
I need to tweet Pete Carroll. Let him know how disappointed she is.
That might be the tweet he'll pay attention to and go, okay, guys, look, we weren't going to do it for the rest of the folks, but I mean, baby Tatum needs a win.
Yep. Next year.
Yeah. Next year.
When she's 13 months old.
Yeah, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And you all, so you've already given in.
Yeah.
Good job. That didn't last long at all. Listeners on the loose, you pick the topic, you guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. And hey, the texter is here. Austin from Port Angeles is the texter that says he can do a good Chewbacca. He's going to put his money where his mouth is. Nice. Is that right, Austin?
Good morning. Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about that
code. All right. Well,
all right, pressure's on.
Okay. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Rev is our expert. Rev?
I mean, it kind of sounded like a massaging device, but yeah. I mean, I can kind of see Chewbacca there.
It was like Chewbacca rolling his R, but never stopped.
Yeah. It's like he's a stuttering Wookiee.
He needed that wah part.
Yeah. I would say it's a decent one.
Started off good.
Yeah. But I don't know if I'd say great. Sorry, buddy.
That was horrible.
Oh, wow.
Well, Simon was really, I mean, you know what? I think Simon wasted all of his good comments for that girl that sang Bohemian Rhapsody Bohemian Rhapsody last night on AGT.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
I watched it. She was amazing.
I believe you.
Yeah. I just,
you got mad about that.
Come on, we got to know what I'm talking about.
You don't believe me?
And that was, by the way, I have to say that I don't like to watch shows like that. I think there's
why the hell are you watching it?
Because she really had a touching story. The girl was just like, she was cool. She had a cool outfit on, and then her voice was amazing. Like, I thought, okay, what is she going to be, just like a Britney Spears or whatever? And then she belts out a really awesome version of Bohemian Rhapsody that she basically just did it almost a cappella. There was accompaniment, but she was tremendous.
But
I don't usually see that on AGT. For some reason, I think they just got all goofballs on AGT.
But in order to know the backstory, you had to be watching in the first place.
Well,
why were you watching in the first place?
I don't know how I got to that. I know why. I recorded the Seahawks postgame show on Q13, but my channel was on King 5.
Got you.
So as I was about to go and watch my recording, I don't know, I see AGT, and then I see this girl with this really cute outfit, and then she starts talking about her story, and I'm like,
sucked in.
Yeah, she seemed like a nice kid, and next thing you know, she sings like, man, I mean, and even Simon was like, all I say bad things about you because I'm a mean guy, but I can't. Hmm. And it was a hell of a performance, and I got sucked in. Sorry.
It's just like a funky little outfit on there.
I love that outfit. That was really what got me, is I just love the outfit. It's so artsy, and, you know, yeah, it's just, I don't know, I'm a weirdo. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie and Renton, you are on the Rock.
BJ Shea.
Who cares?
What's up, Charlie?
I want to do the impression of Chewbacca.
You got one now? What are we starting here? All right, Vicky's happy at least. All right, go ahead, Charlie.
I
I really, really, really hated that.
Oh, wow. Simon is just not happy with any of this. I don't know if it's because Simon hates Chewbacca or just hates the impressions. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Rev, what do you think? Is it better or worse than our previous caller?
I think it was weaker than the last caller.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Charlie.
Need a little more inflection there, but I mean,
way to ruin your Monday, Charlie. We're sorry.
Oh, you guys didn't ruin it. You guys have a good one.
All right. Good, Charlie. You know what? You can't get him off his game.
He's a positive Wookiee.
Yeah. I think most Wookiees are positive. I haven't seen a negative Wookiee.
I mean, you don't understand what they're saying. For all we know, Wookiee's been yelling at Han this whole time.
That's very positive. Yeah, he could have been just a Debbie Downer.
I hate you. Why am I stuck with you?
Yeah, you're very right. I have no idea what the hell he's saying over there. So listeners on the loose, you pick the topic, you guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999.
A few people have been texting and saying, if Rev is the authority on Chewbacca, I think we need to hear Rev's Chewbacca. Yeah.
Okay, all right, you ready?
All right. Oh, let me get ready. Okay.
Is it Joey Lawrence doing a Chewbacca?
Hey.
Whoa.
Hey. I think really, I know that the Star Wars thing is done, but I really think anybody going on Jimmy Fallon, because that's where this all started, is that he should ask everybody to do a Chewbacca impression.
I have to agree with this texter. Of all the Chewbacca impressions, this one is the best.
And that is a woman, really, a woman passing gas.
Yes.
Which is really talented, considering that sounds like Chewbacca. And also just the epic nature of this. And she just doesn't look like anybody who, you know, sometimes you expect somebody to be very large that could make that happen. She just looks like a regular-sized person with that impressive performance.
So it's a BJ, I finally saw The Joker last night. Great flick. Nice tie-in with the Dark Knight series.
And it's up for 11 Academy Awards.
11.
It got nominated for 11 Academy Awards, The Joker. So they are, like everybody thought, that was going to be an amazing performance. I'm assuming Best Actor is one of them, right? That he's nominated for, Joaquin Phoenix, out of the 11. It better
be.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah.
And Best Picture.
Ooh, right behind is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I almost rented that on demand. I didn't, but I almost did.
I think I'm going to do it with my wife, actually, now that it's because that's the Quentin Tarantino movie, and I heard that's very, very good.
Dude, I want to watch The Joker, but I just don't know if I have the energy to watch The Joker, if that makes sense.
I'm with you.
It makes total sense.
You're there at like 1917 is another one that's up for it, and it won the box office this weekend. But it really is a movie about World War One, and, you know, it's horrific, and the mission of the movie is they're trying to save lives, or everybody dies if they don't get there in time. And it's another thing where you got, do I have the energy to sit through a great but really sad picture? And I'm with you. The Joker is a sad picture. It's disturbing.
I don't know why it is, though. I don't know if it's like maybe the world we live in now, where everything, we're exposed to so much like negativity, like with social media, miserable mentalities, that when I'm gonna remove myself from all that, I don't want to then watch something about negativity and miserable behavior. I just want to kind of have something light and fluffy.
I will say this.
Like my pancakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I get a pancake movie, please?
Yes. The only reason I hope that people watch The Joker is that it has a great mental health message in it.
Yeah, and I hear that. Yeah. I want to see it. I know it's an incredible film.
Yeah.
But man, I just don't know if I'm ready for it.
I can't fault you. I mean, there are great movies that I have never watched because I just thought, this is going to be hard. Like Schindler's List. You know, it was a fantastic movie, but my God, I don't ever want to watch it again because it's depressing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic movie, but depressing.
Ooh, I saw a movie that got a few Oscar nods. Ford versus Ferrari. Four Oscar
that's
nods.
Right, you did see that.
Nice.
That's and you liked Ferrari. It a lot.
I love that movie. Yeah. It was really, really good.
That's
a fun
film.
Probably
going to be a rental in my house as well. I'm like, I know my wife will do it. She'll
absolutely
like it.
Worth the rental. Yeah. And Star Wars got 3 nominations.
Do we know for what is like what set dressing perhaps or settings or
visual
special
effects, soundtrack, and one other.
Yeah,
like audio editing.
Yeah, sound editing and original score.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think
best Wookiee.
has Star Wars ever won an Oscar for anything? I don't know. I thought I read that they go, this could be the time Star Wars wins something. I thought, really, they haven't won anything ever?
Not even for like best soundtrack or best score
or even visual effects.
Yeah, best original musical score in 1978 for John Williams.
I was going to say, I mean, that
okay,
was
yeah, all right.
Yeah, costume design, sound mixing, visual effects. Yeah, they've won a bunch, but
what about for best Wookiee?
No, not for Best Wookiee.
All right, well, those are, I don't want to say they're lame. I mean, obviously those.
They're not the big awards.
No.
They've been nominated for Best Picture in 1978 and then Original Screenplay in 78, but nothing big on that.
Like if you're going to do a new trailer for the movie, you know how sometimes movies do that, it's like winner of Academy Awards for Best Actor, Best Screenplay. I don't think they'll ever be like, Star Wars, winner of the Academy Award for Best Use of Editing in a Motion Picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not really a selling point.
No, you're absolutely right. They may not even get presented the night of the Oscars. You know how they always do that? Mm-hmm. They go, 3 weeks ago we presented these Oscars because they're the lame ones.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to the Joker. As a comic book guy, I love that a comic book character was interpreted in such a way that it was considered an Oscar performance. And it just justifies my big fight I had with a college professor all those years ago that I said Batman was just as amazing and instrumental in literature as anything Shakespeare has ever done. And he laughed me out of the room. And the Joker is one of the best antagonists ever done, especially in American mythos. And I feel vindicated.
There is one other comic book movie that made it, but for visual effects, Avengers Endgame.
Ah.
Which, honestly, it deserves it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For visual effects?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Over Rise of Skywalker?
They should put Best Death of a Starring Character.
It was good, Vicky. I agree with you that there were some amazing things that happened.
But just like all the people, okay, spoiler alert, that showed up and how they showed up and where they ended up going and having to go to all these places in space. It's pretty awesome.
All right. Okay.
So much as I agree about the Joker, it's heavy, and we've tried three times to finish it, but my girlfriend taps out.
Yeah, Steve, it's tough. It is a tough movie. I don't think you're ever going to watch it.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to take your word that it's really good.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. Yeah. I do that with you when you tell me things are good, except I don't believe you. Mm. Yeah, but, you know, I do the same thing. All right, here's a big question for you. What do Ryan Castle and a car tire have in common? This is a big one. I'm going to tell you, 9:51 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW. And now, the Ryan Castle question of the day.
What do Ryan Castle and a car tire have in common?
I'll collapse if you stab me with a screwdriver.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're human.
Just fizzle. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a Steve likes to nail both.
Oh, yeah, he does.
A car tire, Ryan Castle and Baby Tatum all experience blowouts.
Oh, boy.
That does happen on occasion.
Yeah. Love this story just because, you know, people are always trying to pull a move. A woman named Sydney, she lives in Oklahoma. She tweeted last week about one of her coworkers who was late to work and said, well, I had a flat tire. That's why I'm late to work. She even sent her boss a picture of a nail in a tire to prove that she had a flat tire. But the problem is if you zoom in on the photo, you realize that is a Photoshop nail on that tire.
It's not even a very good job.
Yeah. It was very, very fake. And if you do a Google search for nail in tire, this fake photo is now the first thing that shows up.
Oh, my gosh. How did she think this was going to work?
Yeah. So she's it's going viral. Don't know if she got fired or not, but they should make her art director at least, right?
Just don't Google nail tire. The pictures are weird.
Oh, good point.
Mm. Who's this tire person?
Ryan Castle, he's up next. He's got your 12-pack.
BJ and Migs, play of the day.
She's tugging on my arm while I'm playing another game. And she goes, hey, are you going to be here tomorrow? Because I'd like to play games with you.
Aww.
And I'm like, oh. And I mean, the puppy dog eyes, the little kid, she's like 10 years old. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have to. So I said, I'll do my best. And she goes, okay, I really would like it. And, you know, she's, I mean, really like right out of a cartoon.
Right, right.
You know, with those big eyes. Dude. So I drug
a great opportunity for you to teach her about disappointment.
I know. I really, really.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy.
How much does bankruptcy cost?
Well, bankruptcy costs, of course, vary depending on what type of case you're filing. There's a certain amount of court costs and other out-of-pocket costs that you're going to have in any case. The filing fees in a bankruptcy case are about $300, whether you file Chapter 7 or Chapter 13. One of the things to watch out for when you're shopping for bankruptcy attorneys or looking at the different cost options is that a lot of times, especially the really cheap places, don't tell you up front about all the court costs and whatnot that you're going to have to pay in addition to the attorney fees. So make sure that you get the full picture when you're comparing prices of bankruptcy lawyers on what the attorney fees are, how much your court costs are going to be, so that you can really make a true comparison.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at choosetherightchapter.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.